I'm very sorry I have to begin this conversation with a worn-out question like that, but it is how it is, and I don't know the answer, but I always wanted to know. So you named your band Agorafidelio.
Uh-huh.
What does it mean?
Nothing. Actually, when we started this band, it was like nearly 15 years ago, I think, mm-hmm. or 12. We had a friend who had a recording studio, and all of our friends were always going to see him to have coffees or things like that. And he called his own place Agora Studio. So the first word is from there, is because we always spent time there. And the second one is the secret password for the movie Eyes Wide Shut. I don't know if you remember this movie. It's from Stanley Kubrick.
Mm-hmm.
And our singer loved it. So he wanted to use the word in the band's name. And we took the two words together. And that's the only reason why we called the band like this. There's no meaning behind it.
Okay.
I guess it's a poor answer, but it's truth. So,
in the late 90s, you formed this band, and it is often called as a side project of the alternative metal band Psycup. How did you meet each other?
Yeah, it started like this because we were friends with Mathieu, the singer, and they made this side project to just to play acoustic covers of famous songs. It was just for fun, and two members of the band decided to stop this project because they did not want to play covers anymore, and the other members wanted to keep on doing things with the band Agora, but wanted to make it a real band and to write real songs of their own, and they started searching for other musicians. And they sent emails to all friends to ask if someone wanted to play in it. So they found a drummer and a bass player. And they only needed a guitarist. And I saw the email and I said, okay, guys, we know each other. We're friends. I don't have a band at the moment. So if you're interested, I can come and try it with you. And we had a rehearsal, and it went very well. So it started like this. And as soon as I tried to rehearse with them, we wrote the first song, and it was the beginning of all the rest.
Was there an aim you had in the beginning? Were there clear musical visions of what Agorafidelio will represent or sound like?
Not really. I think we just wanted to do something like rock in a large way, and we all liked post rock at the moment and things like that. We just knew that we wanted to play something kind of we wanted people to feel some melancholy in the music and something a bit sad maybe, and to be a mix of a simple rock band like French rock and something more cyclic with long parts and atmospheres and things like that. But we tried not to think too much about it. We just wanted to try it, and it sounded like it did naturally, I think.
Yeah, you talked about long parts, and the name of the radio show we are doing this interview for is 10 Minuten, which means 10 minutes, and this stands as a metaphor for the length of the songs played in this show. And
yeah.
Agorafidelio has some of these songs that are very long, so obviously you don't follow the unwritten golden rules for the perfect heavy rotation pop song. But
yeah.
Are there any rules you are following when you compose? And how do you know that a song is ready when you compose it?
It's a nice question. We, as you may know, we have now a new bass player. I mean, it's been years, but it's the second bass player in the band. And when he arrived with us, he had a very different way of composing than we had before. Like more simple, more direct, and more rock. And we composed, both of us, we composed in a way where we wanted things to be simple. And I think you have to know when to stop composing a song, because if you try to go further all the way, it can be worse. So sometimes we were composing with one or two simple ideas. We recorded them, and then while listening to them, we were just wondering, okay, what is the effect on us? Is it okay? Do we feel things with it, or do we have to go further? And pretty much all the time we were thinking, we have to stop now because the idea is okay. It pleases us and it sounds cool for us. So we just have to be satisfied with it and not to try to go further and further. So I think we try to compose in a way where we don't think really about things. It's like just an idea on the guitar, on the bass, and then the other one puts some little things on it. Then we try to make like a, you know, like fake drums on the computer just to test it, because our drummer is living far away from here, so we don't have pretty much the occasion to see him a lot. And then the last part is the voice. But I think if we had some goals, some precise goals, we should maybe make something more suitable for the radio standards. But we try not to, and we don't care if it is like 10 or 12 or 15 minutes long. Anyway, it's not the goal to be like a pop rock band that is always on radio. So if we think that you need time to go inside a song. So my vision of music generally is that if I like an idea in a song, like a guitar idea or something like that, I just want it to last long enough for me to appreciate it. I don't want to be frustrated if the idea just lasts 4 seconds. So normally when we have an idea that we like, we like to make it last longer and longer, to make it like in an evolution with some little notes coming again and again and again. But we really don't think about anything while composing. We even wanted for the last record, we even wanted to try to take some things off. Like I often use delays on guitars, and for example, we said, why not try to stop delaying everything, to play with less and less effects and less tracks, and we wanted it to be as simple as possible.
How many of your songs ended up in the trash because you composed them too long or you thought too much about it?
You mean how many songs we did not keep?
Yes.
Not that much, because I think for during the life of the band, I think it did arrive like two or three times, not really more.
Okay. So there's no treasure that someone can find out about?
Not really. We have another record to make to end the triptych we started. So there are at the moment some songs that are not recorded anywhere. So, but I don't know if we can talk about treasures. But we don't have hidden songs that stayed in a drawer for years. No.
Okay. You already told about the change of the bass player, and I also found out in more than 10 years band history, you just had one personal change in your lineup. That was when your bass player Akira left in 2007. Uh-huh. Why did he do that, and how did the rest of the band deal with it?
To be honest, today I still don't really know why he left the band. But he was in a very difficult period, because he nearly stopped playing music. He was bored with music in general, not the band, but just playing music. He was beginning some new activities, so like photography and video and things like that. And he even thought about selling all his gear, like his bass and everything. He just wanted to stop, so he spent like 2 or 3 years without playing any music with anyone. And then he started again a few years later. But when he left, it was kind of a surprise, I must admit. He decided this in just a little moment, and we were not really prepared for this. So it was kind of difficult. And our new bass player is playing in Psycup too. was playing because Psychic doesn't play anymore. But he knew the band very well. He had the records and he liked it. And we were talking about it on another gig someday. And he said, you know, if you're interested, I would be okay to play with you. It would be cool. So what do you think about it? And as we already knew each other, we were friends. So again, we thought, why not? And he arrived in the band like this. And it was like fresh air, you know. When he arrived, he had, again, new methods of composing and a new vision of the music we could play. So I'm very, very happy that we had this change. Anyway, I'm still really friend with Akira, and I just saw him yesterday evening again. But everything is well, because Akira was happy to stop it because he needed to stop it. And Pelo, the new bass player, was happy to have a new band, and we were happy to be able to keep on doing music with Agora. So everything went well.
In July 2007, you uploaded your first video on YouTube. It shows short clips of a tour you were doing at this time in France, and under the video, a film is announced. You called it a road movie and told the viewers that it would be up to 80 minutes long. What happened to this project?
Well, it's incredible that you talk about this, because it's something I was... it really counted for me, because I spent a lot of time on mounting the videos, and it was a big project that we wanted to release, because we did not know if we wanted to release it like commercially or just for friends and fans who wanted to download it. But actually, I finished it just in a tough period. I don't remember exactly how were things at the moment, but it was a moment where everything went like on standby for a moment. And I had it on a computer, like waiting to be released someday. And actually, the drive it was on crashed. And at the moment, I hadn't backup it. So I nearly lost everything on it. And the only place where I had a backup of it was on the hard drive that our bass player had. And so we were like, okay, we still have it. And we did not backup it again at the moment. And a few times later, his drive crashed again. So we again lost everything.
Oh, that's a pity.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because I really miss this movies. I would love to see them again, because I think there were a lot of rememberings and souvenirs on it, and it would have been really cool to be able to release it. But I keep on hoping that I'll find some version somewhere, and I search everywhere, but at the moment I could not find some bits of it. So I think it will never be released, but it's a pity. I think so.
I have been in Toulouse last year, and I really wanted to storm the CD shops and buy some records of French artists I would never find in Germany. Mm-hmm. But what I found were lots and lots of vinyl stores with mostly very, very old records. So I finally ended up in the Fnac, and the only thing I bought myself was a Kenny Arcana CD. Mm-hmm. That experience leads me to the following question. What do you think about the music business in France? Does it work, or is it hard to survive for an independent artist like you are?
I think it's tough today to be able to play music and earn a bit of money with it and keep on recording things and going on tour and everything. And with Agora, we tried both ways. I mean, a way where some people help you to book gigs and things like that, and the other way when you do everything on your own. And doing everything on your own is very difficult, but in a way it's easier, because you can make your own choices. You don't have anyone behind you telling you you have to do this or you have to do that, and in this way or that way. So I don't really know today what is easier in France for music. What I can say is that today, if you play extreme music like metal or things like that, it's nearly impossible to manage to go where you want to go, because in France, music that is in the medias is really mainstream music all the way, all the time. And as you said in the beginning, if you don't fit to the standards of radio, like 3 minute songs and things like that, it's dead. You won't be able to be played. But happily in France, we have anyway something that works very well. It's the gigs organizers, like independent ones, are very active and try to make a lot of gigs all the time. And it's very cool for the underground scene or independent scene. So this side of the music business is cool. I mean, people helping each other to play anywhere. But the real part of the business, I mean, the labels or the booking agencies and everything, it's getting, I think, really bad. And I guess that it's better for a band now, for a French band, to try to play in foreign countries than in France, because France is really hermetic closed today. And with my other band, we played in foreign countries, and every time we found that people were really, really open to this, but not in France. In France, it's getting now, I mean, 10 years back in time, we had the ability to have like a 2 or 3 weeks touring, you see. So it was kind of easy to find gigs and to play a lot of days. But now when we find gigs, it's like you go away, you play like just one or two gigs and you go back home, because it's hard to have a lot of gigs, except if you're in a little agency that can book you. But when you do it on your own, it's very, very difficult. And everybody now is afraid of losing money. I mean, if you call someone in a venue and you say, okay, would you be okay to make a gig with us and this or that band in your room, the person you have on the phone will only accept if you have a very famous band in the evening. But if it is for bands that are not well known, he will be afraid of losing money and he will say no pretty all the time.
Then you have to come to Germany.
I'd love to, and we plan to do it with my other band, which is like more metal, because I think it could work with Weird Germany, and I'd love to. I know Germany a bit, I mean, for tourism, but I never played there with a band, and I'd really love to, and I even know a few words in German.
Okay, so your current album is named Les Illusions d'une Route. Mm-hmm. It's a triple album, which means that there are three different discs with six tracks each that are released independent of each other, but they all belong to the same record. They all have a similar artwork and are named after big cities beginning with the letter B. Mm-hmm. This isn't the usual way to release an album. What were the reasons for your decision to handle it like that?
It was our singer's idea, because we hadn't done anything for two or three years. And one day we called each other and we said, okay, let's rehearse today, it would be cool. So we did it, and we were like, okay, who's in the band is okay to make a new record, who doesn't want it? And we were all okay to make a new record, because we needed it, we wanted to do it. But we were just wondering to talk again about the question you said before about music business. We were thinking like, okay, today it is hard to be heard by a lot of people in the medias and everything. So what would be a cool idea to do something slightly different than a normal record? And we thought that just releasing a CD, a normal CD with, I mean, 10 tracks on it would be cool, but today albums have a very short life, because you do a record and like 2 weeks later people are listening to something else, and it goes on and on and on all the way, and it's very difficult to make a long life to your record. So we thought it would be cool to think about something original that could maintain the attention of people during a long time. So we thought that releasing something and then releasing something else not very long afterwards would be cool, because people would be waiting for the next one, and they would have time to listen to the first one, and then before getting bored with it, it would be the second one coming out, and like this. But we missed it a bit because it took much more long time than what we expected. So we at the beginning we were like kind of it was utopic because we thought that we would release the three ones during a year, and it did not go like this at all because we released the second one I think like 1 year and a half later or 1 year later. And then the third one, which has not been released today, and it's a shame for us because we are very, very late. I think the second one was released like nearly 3 years ago, and some people bought the three records directly at the beginning and are now waiting for the third one to complete the album, and they still don't have it. So some people think that we won't do it, but we will. But we needed time because we had some arguing in the band about some things about music and the way we saw it, and we just hadn't enough time because we all had bands, side bands, and we were never at the same place at the same moment. So, but normally we should start recording the third one around this summer or maybe this autumn.
Okay, that are nice news to hear. Even if my French is very bad and I do not understand much of the lyrics, I notice that there are some similarities and parallels between the two parts of Les Illusions d'une Route that are released yet. For example, that on both parts, the track 5, which is GPS on Barcelona and C'est une guerre on Baghdad, ends with very loud screaming. Or for example, that on track 6 on Barcelona, Milka sings Je voulais voir, which means I want to see or I would like to see, and that on track 6 on Baghdad, that it is named J'ai vu, which means I have seen. I think that ain't no coincidence, or is it?
It's not. Because he always had this way of writing. He always liked to put things in different songs. Like, it's not a secret thing or something too hidden, but he likes symbolic things. And actually, the last track of the first one is Je suis venu, which means I came here. And on the second one, the last track is J'ai vu, which means I saw. And it comes from the Latin sentence that you know, I think, which is "Veni, vidi, vici."
Yeah.
And he wanted to use this for the three last tracks of the albums. But there's gonna be a twist on the last one of the third album. It's not gonna be "I achieved."
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but it won't be this. But it will be kind of similar, and it's gonna be a twist like this. And he always writes songs this way. He likes to have parallels between things, and you always find similar words in different songs because to him sometimes songs are different, but the story behind them is it's just like a long line that is between everything. So I think nothing's a coincidence.
Okay. When Milka has been in Germany with his other band, My Own Private Alaska, in 2011, we talked a bit after a show they made here in Erfurt, and he told me about the lyrics on Les Illusions d'une Route, but I don't remember it that much anymore. I think it was something about childhood and war. So, but I'm not very sure. Can you please once tell me again what this record is all about in the lyrics?
He had an idea of kind of a trip, but not a trip like tourism, a trip, a life trip, and of someone or something or anyone beginning his life in a way and trying to go further and to live things, to learn things during his trip and his life. And he wanted to use the three album concept to have three steps in it. And the idea was that this person is was he was going to somewhere he didn't know, but he was expecting something very beautiful, warm and positive and everything, and it was Barcelona, because Barcelona is a very colorful city and warm city, and everything is like kind of positive there, but it did represent something that the person were expecting, but without knowing it. And Baghdad was the symbol of this person arriving in that place, and that place was not Barcelona at all, because it was like kind of sad, destroyed, and very deceiving. And the symbol of Belfast, which is to be released, is that the person arrives expecting something good, he finds something very bad, and the third step is that he tries to build again something new, to try to build it the way he was waiting in the first place. I don't know if you follow me.
I try to.
But it's
kind of difficult, but I try to.
Yeah, he has strange ideas sometimes, but everything is symbolic. He doesn't run to write something really concrete. He always makes parallels with his own life and maybe childhood, because I think he's a bit obsessed with some things he lived in during his childhood. But he likes to write things in a way that normally people can think about themselves while listening to the lyrics, to think about their own story. And we have a saying in French, but I don't know how to say it in German or in English, about, do you know the word initiative?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of an initiative trip, you see?
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to talk about something like this, something like trying to improve yourself during your life with your hopes and the way you have to deal with things not going on like you wanted them to. So I think it's the best way I can describe the idea behind these three discs.
There are few English lyrics in your songs, very, very few, but mostly the lyrics are in French. And keeping Milka's other band, My Own Private Alaska, in mind, we know that he's able to write and sing in English. Mm-hmm. And from this short conversation I had with him once when he was in Germany, I know that his German skills are not bad as well. Was it a conscious decision from the beginning to have Agora Fidelio with French lyrics?
Yeah, absolutely, because we always said this during interviews, because people always ask us if he sang in French because he couldn't sing in English, for example. And as we all have bands, side bands, where we sing in English, we always said that it was totally conscious, because we wanted to do it. Maybe because we knew that it would be difficult and it was like kind of a challenge to try to sing in French, because this is a paradox, but here in France, a lot of people hate French music, French lyrics. They're French, but they prefer to listen to something in a foreign language. Of course, English, and sometimes German or anything else, but they always think that French doesn't sound musically. It is a hard language to put on music. It seems like English is a musical language, you see? And I think you may have the same problem in Germany, because I think French and German are a bit similar on this. You have the like sounds, hard sounds for music in your language and our language. And for example, I always thought that bands like Rammstein did a very good job, because they managed to be world famous with a language which is difficult to have on a music. And I think it's the same for French. And I don't know if you know the band Noir Désir.
I heard of them, but I don't know their music.
Actually, it's a very famous French rock band, and it's kind of cult here. Even if their singer had a lot of problems with the law, but they're kind of cult, and we were all fans of this band because, well, actually, the music, I think their music is fantastic, but their lyrics are just like poetry, you see? It's beautifully written, and I think Milka wanted to do something this way. He wanted to try this challenge to write in French, because writing in French for music, I mean, for poetry, I think it's pretty easy, but for music, it's kind of difficult. So he thought, I have other bands where I sing in English. Okay, I know we can do it in English, but let's try to only keep French for this band, and we'll see. And Actually, it was people had a very good reaction, but always told us, I never listen to French music. I hate French on music, but I like your band. So I think he managed to do it well, and I think he has a very, very good talent in writing words in French.
In August 2012, you released a statement that with the release of the last part of Les Illusions d'une route agoraphilia will have a pause totale à durée indéterminée, which almost sounds like it is kind of a breakup. Is it a breakup? And if it is, can you please explain the reasons?
We were very tired because, for the same reasons again, we had less time than before. We had bands, each of us. The drummer has left to Paris and has a life there with a lot of things to do for working. And it was harder and harder to meet and to be able to compose music together. So we were just tired, and we were like, okay, is it? Does it have a meaning to keep on doing music together in this band, or do we have to stop? And we knew that it was very difficult to find gigs for this band because of the music style we did. Because when we were searching for gigs, it always had a problem. I mean, people were saying like, "Okay, I like what you do, but you sing in French. I don't like it." So if it was the same with English, it would be okay. But there it's not. Or okay, we like what you do, but it's not violent enough to be booked for us. Or the contrary, like, okay, we like what you do, but we only book pop rock bands, and you're too violent where when he screams. I mean, there always have been problems in our style for bookers and everything. And we were tired of this, of having the impression that we were working hard since like more than 2 years for this band, and we were pretty much at the same place at the beginning, and we felt like tired and like it would never work more than what we had during 10 years. So we thought that it did cost a lot of money to record music and to tour for nearly for nothing at the end. So we were like, okay, let's try to work hard on other projects we have, because my own private Alaska at the moment was touring a lot. I had a lot to do with my other band and so on. So we thought, okay, I think we should stop, but it's a hard decision to take. So maybe let's call it a breakup for the moment, a standby for the moment, and maybe we'll stop it forever then. But now we're not sure about it. So let's talk to people to say, we're going to stop for a moment, but we don't know for how long. And actually, we have the third disc to do, and we'll do it for sure. But I think that we won't play gigs anymore, or maybe in a few years we'll want to do it for pleasure and for fun, and we'll maybe play two or three gigs. But normally, the third record will be a way for us to end the project in a nice way.
Okay. As you said, the third record is waiting to come, but is there anything for your fans that they can do to speed things up, like buying merch or pre-commanding the record or something like that?
I mean, I don't know if it would speed up anything, because in a way everything is ready, because we have 7 tracks ready, and we only want to put 6 on the record. So we just have a choice to make on which song will not be on the record. And then we just have to spend a lot of time at home to record things, but everything is nearly done. We are done. So it's gonna come soon, I hope. But I mean, it's not a matter of money, actually. Of course, if people want to buy the record now, if they did not do it, it would be excellent, and it would please us, sorry. But I don't think we'll speed up things, because the main problem was not a question of money or anything. It was just that we couldn't find the right moment to be together and in a good mood to record it the right way. So we are now reaching the goal slowly, but it's going to be very soon, I think. So what is the most important for me is to see every day, because it's still happening again at the moment. I still receive messages from people who support us while saying, please don't stop it now. You have to make the third record. It's important for us and everything. And I think it's the reason why someday we should play again together, because I miss doing gigs with Agora. I'm really missing it. So we'll do it as fast as we can now, because it's been a long time. It's been like 3 years. So I think it's a little bit of shame. So I really hope that this summer the record would be over. And even if it's going to be sad to stop there, I think it's going to be kind of soothing for us to think that it's done, the record is out, and everything has been done as it was predicted.
Hmm. I really liked your music videos for Finir à Paris and L'Horizon very much. Mm-hmm. Are we going to see another one when Belfast comes out?
Actually, it's not a project at the moment, but I think I will do something myself, because I, as you said before, about the movie that could have been released but that we lost, I'm still angry with Destiny with it, because I would have loved to release it. So I think I'll try to end the story properly. I think I'll try to find pictures and movies and make something with it, make like a kind of a video to end up the story. I don't know at the moment, but I would love to do it. So let's hope it's going to be okay to do it.
And how are you going to end up the story of Agora Fidelio? Is it done with the release of Belfast, or will there be something else, like a goodbye tour or a goodbye gig? What are your plans?
Normally we should not play anymore, so I don't think there'll be a goodbye gig or tour. Maybe a gig, but I'm not sure about it. It's going to be difficult to find time to do this. But I think it's going to be the third record will be the end. It's going to be after a long wait for people and for us. I think it's going to be the point of the story. And maybe we'll have to take time to let people listen to the record and see if they like it. And then a few time afterwards, maybe we'll try to find a way to play a bit again, to please people and to please ourselves on stage, maybe a last time. But I mean, who knows? You never know what future will be like, because, for example, Tight Gap stopped a few years ago and they play again a gig this year. It's going to be just one gig, but who knows? Maybe they'll do it, they will like it, and we want to tour again. So I really don't know at the moment, I must admit.
If Agora Fidelio is almost dead, what happens with its members? Do the four of you have any other band projects? Are you still making music?
Absolutely, yes. Well, Milka is still playing with my own private Alaska. He has a new project called Terre Neuve, which is kind of acoustic. And he always had a lot of projects, so he doesn't stop to play music at all. I have my band called Naive, which is kind of a mix between metal and trip-hop and electro, which is working a lot at the moment. And I have another project on my own, which is not famous at all, because it's just a personal project, but maybe it's going to do some gigs. And the bass player has two bands, too. And only the drummer has nothing musically at the moment, because he's working a lot for a living in Paris. And I don't think he'll have really time now for doing music again. So on the four members, we are at least three keep on playing with bands. So we don't have time to be bored.
Can you please tell us the name of your smaller project and the name of the two projects of your bass player?
Yeah, my electro project is called Phantom Status. Phantom written with P-H-A-N-T-O-M and S-T-A-T-U-S.
Thank you.
Yes, it's kind of an electro project, but I mean the bassist is electro, so there's not a drummer on it. I mean there are drums, but electro ones, and there's a lot of guitars and vocals, and it's kind of very atmospheric. It was like just my dream to have my own album with my music, and I wanted to do this record to be able to make things I could not have done with my other bands. So maybe I'll make a second one, but it was just for my pleasure. And so my other band is Naive, which is written NAIVE, and Pelo has so two bands which are called Simon Schule, which is written Simone and Choule, which is it sounds a bit like psycho. I mean, it's very strange, a mix between rock, metal, and kind of schizophrenic. And his other band is called Lady into Fox, so LadyIntoFox. And which is kind of a experimental rock band, kind of classic, but not fitting the standards of radio and medias too. And that's it.
Okay, thank you for these informations. So now it is time for a last statement. Is there anything you want to tell the listeners? Something I haven't asked you about the band or the record, or maybe something very different you have on your mind, maybe something emotional, intellectual, maybe just stupid or political?
I try not to talk about politics, never, because it always gets you problems. But what I would like to say is that first, it was a pleasure to talk to you because I must admit I would have liked to see you because it would have been easier maybe to talk with your picture in front of me.
Yeah.
But it was a pleasure. I don't do interviews in English or for someone in Germany so often, so it was really cool, and I'm very grateful that you wanted to talk a bit with me and to know things about the band, because people that I talk to on gigs when I play with my other band, or even gigs where I don't play but I talk to people. People that talk to me about Agora think that we don't care about it, actually, because as it's been a long time without music, and as they are waiting for the third one without being sure that it will be released, even if we say that it will, people think that we don't care about the band, and it's like kind of a detail for us, but it's not at all. So if I had something to say, it would be that for people who like us and who know us, be sure that it is very, very important in our lives, and we really miss playing with the band. We just had problems, and life just made that it's got difficult to keep on doing it the right way. But anyway, it is very, very important for us, and we will try to record the third one in a very sincere way, and we hope that people will like it. And as I said, who knows? Maybe if people really want to see us again on stage, maybe someday we can do it. But I know that some people are waiting for it because we receive messages about it. But I just want people to know that if we don't do it, it's not because we don't want to. It's just because it's getting difficult because of life, because of time, because of money sometimes, and because of a lot of things. But I mean, we respect a lot people who followed us during 10 years or more, and we really want them to be proud of the band and of the music we're gonna release soon, I hope. So thanks a lot to all the people who support us since a long time.
Okay, so I have to say thank you myself. Thank you very much for that conversation and for
With pleasure.
years and years of good music. It will always be a part of my life, and please tell the rest of the band greetings from Germany.
I sure will. Thanks a lot.